5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to another hour of Tech Talk with me, Stephen Scott. Good to have you with us once again. And I'm still on my headset, guys. I'm not going back to that microphone because, do you know what? I've got three fans at the moment pointed at me, and I am not in any way turning them off. I will die if I'm in here any longer than the hour. I can't turn these fans off. I'm sorry. They have to remain on, which means I'm on this headset. Not that anyone's even probably caring or noticing, but I just thought I'd say it anyway. Robin Christofferson's with us from AbilityNet. Hello, Robin. Are you warm?
Yes, I am. And I was just going to say, you've also got fans all around the world too.
So cheesy, aren't you? So cheesy. So lovely, but cheesy. Yes, that's right. All around the world, as Lisa Stansfield once said.
Yes.
You don't know who Lisa Stansfield is, do you?
Yes, I do. I know the song as well, but I'm not going to break into it. I'm a tiny bit croaky today, guys. A minor op yesterday, but not 100% today. I'll do my best.
Okay, so no Lisa Stansfield songs from him. That's a karaoke out. Okay, fine. Tim Schwartz, I believe you'd be quite good in the karaoke, but a Kenny Rogers, I'd imagine.
Kenny Rogers? Okay.
American. I just picked the first American I could think of.
That's the first American you could think of? Wow.
I don't think Donald Trump sings, so, you know, I don't. And that's one thing he doesn't do, thankfully.
He could have said Dolly Parton.
Could have said Dolly Parton. Yeah, that's true.
He could have. No, I'm not breaking into the song right now either, but...
He's more Barry White, I would have thought.
Barry White.
You know that? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, I could hear a bit of that. A bit of... I'm just desperate trying to think of a song by Barry White. That one. Whatever one you're thinking of Barry White's, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Emails Andy's here as well. Emails Andy, I imagine you are a dab hand at the old karaoke.
No. Far from it. I don't sing, I don't dance.
Nobody does who does karaoke, let's be honest.
No. That's true, yeah. I'd need to be absolutely drunk off of my shoes to karaoke.
What a beautifully tidy way of saying that. Well, that was the most radio-friendly way I've ever heard that phrase.
PG.
That was definitely PG on that one. That was brilliant. Well done. Look, coming up on the show today, lots to talk about. We're not going to moan about the heat all the way through. Well, not all the way through. But we are going to talk about a fantastic online resource today called Hadley, which you might have heard of. It's a brilliant resource that really can advise in a wide range of areas, technology being one of them. So we're going to hear about that from Douglas Walker from Hadley today on Tech Talk. Also, Jo Fullerton's here from the Technology for Life team at RNIB, and she has an app for the green fingered amongst you. Yeah, this is actually quite interesting. This is an area I don't think we've ever talked about as gardening. I can't think why, but we've never talked about gardening on the show, to my knowledge. And, of course... there's more of your emails. Yes, more and more of those. Lovely, lovely. I said it off. It's like automatic. Artificial intelligence is running this program. There's certainly no real intelligence running it, I'll tell you that. But first, thanks for jumping in on that one so quick there, Tim. Welcome Douglas Walker onto the show from Hadley, who's here to tell us all about hadley.edu. what it is, and how it can benefit us, blind and partially sighted people, at whatever stage we're at in our sight loss journey. It's great to have you with us here, Douglas. So tell us more about Hadley.
Well, Hadley has actually been around for, oh my goodness, we started in 1920, and we've actually been around now for 100 years then, right? So we started off, and the thing that people don't know about Hadley is they assume we used to be Hadley School for the Blind, and now we're Hadley Institute for the Blind and Visually Impaired. And people assume they heard the word school in there, and they thought we were actually a physical school where there were students at the school and everything. Well, Hadley has never been that way. Hadley has always been distance ed. From its very beginnings, William Hadley actually started with one student in 1920, and it was really big in the 20s to have correspondence type stuff through the mail, like you could learn typing through the mail and such. Well, he started that with Braille through the mail. So Braille by mail. And right then, you know, then it was very cutting edge at the time. And to the fact that you could actually learn Braille and you'd be mailed a course and then you could mail in your lessons as you did them and such. So, and Hadley started out that way. And then 120 years past that, you know, we like to tout ourselves as the world's largest educator of people with blindness worldwide, you know, visual impairments. So we're, of course, in all, you know, we're here in Chicago, and actually we're in Winnetka, just north of Chicago. But we're in all 50 states here in the U.S. and more than 100 countries worldwide. So, you know, and it isn't a super exciting time. Unfortunately, last year, you know, with everything else, sort of put a damper on our 100th year anniversary, but we're still celebrating because we've had huge changes at Hadley. We've actually, you know, I mentioned that we had courses. We actually have moved away from courses, formal courses like page turning courses. We had, I think, over 170 something courses that were online at one time. And we've moved away from that and more of a learning on demand model, where you have like 5 to 10 minute instructional videos, really small bites of information that teach you, you know, how to do specific things. And it's almost like, I like to call it like YouTube for people with visual impairments. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I've got to say that is totally evident from your website. I mean, when I go there and I, you know, hit on learn and suddenly I'm presented with daily living, adjusting to vision loss, technology, Braille, yeah. Working, recreation. And under that are a ton of workshops, either series or individual videos that you can go and watch or you know, listen to. It's an incredible amount of resource that you've built up. And I guess that's over, you know, over time you've built all this up with, you know, knowledge from the community and involvement from the community.
Yeah, we have a lot of involvement from the community. We you know, we did launch our new platform was launched last year, and it was almost at the perfect time. I mean, because, you know, people were at home and they were looking for resources and stuff they could do at home. And so we launched last year. And so we've had our new platform up for a year now, and we're happy to say that it has been a tremendous success. We have over 1,000 new learners every month, which is a big deal for us. And the best thing about Hadley's content is that absolutely everything on our platform is free, you know, for learners. So, you know, it's hadley.edu is where you'll find us. And you go on there and, you know, it says right on the front of the website what we are. Our mission's right there, you know, to help people thrive at work, at home, and in the community. And like you said, we have just over 500. We call them workshops. They're actually instructional videos, but we call them workshops online. And it's super cool. We've heard nothing but great things from our, we call them learners now. You know, I could talk about it all day long.
I bet you could. Well, no wonder, because, yeah. I mean, I go on there. I mean, you know, I'm a technology guy, so I go in and I'm looking through to see what tutorials are there. And, you know, for people who don't know about tutorials or, you know, what's available out there, because the access to information is always the problem. That's what I've found in the visual impairment world from my own perspective and from friends of mine who have always talked about, you know, you can Google pretty much anything, but it comes to, you know, how does an Android phone work for me if I'm blind? That can be tricky to get the exact answer you want. I mean, I talk about turning on audio description on a device, and actually if you type in, you know, audio description on a device in Google, you'll often get lots of results saying how to turn it off. How do I turn this thing off? It's driving me insane. You know, because that's what the majority of, you know, people are maybe facing, you know, not blind and partially sighted people who are actually wanting to know, well, how did you turn it on in the first place? So, right. You know, I mean, I go in here and there's Android tutorials, there's Apple tutorials. There's how to use the web and using your computer, your keyboard, and as part of your computer. Wonderful, wonderful tools that are available, and like you say, all for free. That's amazing.
Right. Well, and that's where we started, was with our technology. My job at Hadley previous to the research and development one was, and still, I oversee all of the Apple content that we have, and started with our Apple content, goodness, like 8 years ago now. We started with, we posted 16 videos, and we started getting just tons and tons of traffic across those. And they were just audio driven at the time. We had no visuals. But we started hearing from our community that, hey, we would love to see what you're doing, how you're interacting with the phone, when you use a voiceover, the gestures that you're using and all that stuff. So that's really why we went more towards a video content, even though all of our audio descriptions are built right into the videos. There's no audio description soundtrack, that goes along with it. It's all just built into the scripting, and everything is totally scripted out so that it's educationally sound. But we started with our Apple stuff, and now I think we have over 80 videos or workshops just on the iPhone and the iPad itself, and we have a whole low vision series of workshops that teach you how to use all of the low vision features that are built into, your iPhone or iPad. And then the challenges of voiceover, right? We have an entire series that's just the basics of how to navigate the operating system using voiceover. And then there's the challenges of something as simple as you would think of answering a phone call. We have a workshop that's, you make placing a phone call, sending a text message, doing an email, web browsing, using Safari, creating bookmarks, and simple things like everyday tasks, using the Voice Memos app, the reading apps, using iBooks, and writing, actually using the on-screen keyboard can be a challenge. So we have a workshop on that. And then there's so much stuff that Siri will do. So we started with our... with the iPhone and iPad, and we branched out from there. And now we have workshops with just our Apple workshops. We have videos or a series on how to use the Apple Watch, how to navigate through your Apple TV. The Mac videos are actually being updated right now. So those will be going live soon, and currently in the process of creating a series on using AirTags. So matter of fact, I'm talking with Apple this afternoon to make sure we're covering everything we want to cover with AirTags. So started with the Apple stuff, and just our videos going up and getting on YouTube and our website actually sort of got Apple's attention. And we're now on, we're one of two resources on the Apple accessibility website, their website. It's us and Apple Viz. So
that's amazing.
So you can get to our stuff, directly through us. And of course, then people at Google saw that and said, "Hey, we want some of that." So that's where our Android stuff came from.
and Microsoft. Why not? Exactly. Yeah. Why not?
Same thing happened with Microsoft. So that's where our Microsoft. So we've actually partnered with all three now. Fortunate enough to do that. And so we know, sort of what's coming. We can get a heads up on what we need to change on our end and all that stuff. And it's very exciting, being in my role and be able to kind of think outside the box.
Yeah.
And work with those kind of people and get to think about, hey, what do we want to do next? Where do we want to go? What can we do with AirTags to make, what can we create to make people's lives easier, because I've fallen in love with the AirTags, recently.
So. I must admit, I seem to be buying them on a fairly regular basis, and I think I'm running out of things to stick them on, or put them in. But yeah, and I should say as well, it's not just technology. I mean, that's the thing, right? It's there's a lot of things here. I mean, I mentioned adjusting division loss, recreation, Braille, all of these things, daily living skills. I mean, I was going through some of the daily living and things I wouldn't have even really considered. Mm-hmm. I mean, obvious things like cooking. Safety, I got all that, but getting into looking after your home, makeup, women's personal care, men's personal care. You know, the things that even a home repair series you've got on there. You know, it's just everything.
And if you think about it, I mean, when you look at the Daily Living series, that whole series there, that domain is what we call it, and then it's broken into all these series. We even have one on staying connected, how to use your touch dial phone, you know, and how to dial, because that can be such a challenge when you're new to vision loss. It's something as simple as just dialing your landline phone, you know, or how to sign your name, you know, things like that. Or how to take simple notes, or even dining out. You know, how do you get menus, or deal with ordering at a fast food, or organizing your money, you know, dealing with clothing, you know, like tips.
It's the real life things that people need to be independent. It's those tips that you need as a blind person. To I say, to be independent, to do the life and live the life that you want to live, I guess.
Absolutely. We look at those compensatory skills, those things that you need to be able to compensate for your loss of vision, because you can still do the things that you always did. You just have to learn how to compensate, you know, for your visual impairment, like how to label things in the kitchen, you know, or even in your closet or your bathroom, you know, how to put a notch. You know, I'm legally blind myself. We have super low vision, around 2700. So, you know, I do certain things like put a rubber band around the conditioner bottle, and people do things differently. But we give all these suggestions about how you can modify things for yourself. Or if you know, we listen to our learners, and we take comments back from anybody that comes on our website. You can put your comments in after you watch a video to tell us, hey, this is how I do it. You know, and we might actually build a workshop on that, and we've done that in the past, you know. But I think it's cool that you say that you were shocked to see. We had a whole makeup series, you know, on there on how to put your makeup on and stuff, which has been really popular, you know. So women's personal care and men's personal care, home repair, a magnifier series, so that you can really understand what a desktop magnifier can do for you before you out and purchase this really expensive, you know, device or a handheld video magnifier, because, you know, you may just need a regular handheld magnifier to do a lot. So we have videos on all that as well. And, you know, one of the series that has really gotten a lot of buzz just recently is our Adjusting to Vision Loss series. You know, we just launched that a couple of weeks back. And, you know, it's such an emotional topic, you know, because we're finding that a lot of people that are new to vision loss come to our website to get all these resources that we've already talked about. And they're dealing with the sudden change in their vision. And so, you know, we think we found a way to really approach that subject, you know, without it being like in your face, you know.
I've got to say, Douglas, you know, if I met someone tomorrow and I learned that they were losing their sight, I'd be telling them to go to hadley.edu. I mean, what an incredible site for a whole host of different reasons. Just because I can tell as a blind guy that blind people are involved in this, and that you've made this because you feel it's necessary, but you have picked up on the very things that are interesting to us as blind people, the things that really matter. And you know, I there's always more, and I'm sure there will be more that you can do, and that people may say, well, why not do this, why not do that? And yes, I guess that's probably the case, but the fact is that look how much has been achieved so far. How do you keep up? I mean, technology, for example, is always changing. So is it just an endless parade of, oh, Apple have just updated this, we need to change this video again?
It's so funny that you said that, because I do oversee all the Apple videos. And so there used to be this big excitement about, oh, man, they're about to have the big new launch and all that stuff. And now in my head, I'm going, oh, my goodness, what are they going to change? You know, kind of, thank goodness I'm not alone in this. I do oversee the Apple stuff, but we have a technology team and Ricky Inger, who also does our podcast, our Hadley Presents podcast. She oversees the technology team now. It used to be my role, but it's that team. Great group of people, and we have a team that's creating all that content. So they're in a position where they're constantly looking forward and constantly having to look back at what they've created. So they sort of oversee certain pieces of the content, and they know when a change is coming. They're in looking at all the betas and all that stuff, so they know what's going to change and know when something needs to be updated. Hence the all of our Mac videos. Usually we leave them up, but we pull the Mac ones down because there were significant enough changes that made it different. But those should be coming up, you know, in the next few months now. So yeah, we're always looking ahead, but always looking back at what we've created. You know, it's kind of a juggling thing. It's almost like spinning plates, trying to keep it all going with the technology. But, you know, hey, job security, job fun, right?
Absolutely. So,
that's good stuff. And, you know, I still have that excitement. Like we were talking AirTag stuff. It's still that excitement of how can this, you know, when we're looking at a new piece of technology, you'll see the focus on our website. It's usually how can this be used to make my life better or to enhance it in some way. So we don't have as much, and we do have some entertainment-based stuff, but most of this stuff is how can this device make my life more productive, you know. And people have heard me say that my iPhone makes me half as blind, you know. Because I can't imagine, you know, my world without the technology that I have today. I'm sitting here in my studio right now looking at a Mac and iPhone here and an iPad there and all these other devices around me. So it's pretty cool stuff. There is that constant excitement about, you know, what's coming next, you know, and where is stuff like artificial intelligence going to take us and cool glasses that start reading print as we're walking around, and you know that's already here. But I think in the next 5 years, you know, you'll go on the Hadley website and you'll go, oh my goodness, you know, things have changed so much, you know.
Well, I wish you all the best with it, and Douglas, thank you so much for giving me your time today here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Yeah, it's been a thrill, and thank you, Stephen, for having me on. And everybody, come and be a learner on Hadley at hadley.edu.
Great to hear from Douglas Walker talking to us on Tech Talk this week. And just a reminder, if you want to get in touch with the show, share your thoughts, good or bad, we welcome everything. We welcome everyone here. Then you can email us, mainly because Andy has to deal with it. So we are okay with that. I'm happy to give you that joy, which I have to say, in fairness, the emails are a joy. I think that we get great emails to the show. So,
we do.
I think that we have the best listeners. We're the most beautiful listeners, I can tell you that.
We have, just a preview, a couple of the emails today are calling us all amazing. There's at
least
two saying amazing. There you go.
Well, hang on. Who specifically is amazing?
The first one would be Amazing Tim.
Hooray!
And then there's an Amazing Emails Andy.
Well, I have to say, I take everything back that I said.
Stephen has quickly lost interest.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to do some quick fire news stories. We don't normally do this, but so many stories kicking around, I thought we should mention them. Site Tech Global is back at the end of the year, but it's going virtual again this year. It'll be virtual in December. Now, the interesting thing about this conference, unlike a lot of these tech conferences that come along, they tend to be quite widespread and they talk about lots of very interesting things. And they're all great, but this one in particular interests me because they focus on artificial intelligence and how that can benefit the blind and partially sighted community. I'm very excited to hear what they've got in store because, of course, we're getting to the end of the year, going into 2022, when I hope, please, that there'll be some kind of announcement from a certain fruit company regarding glass, or glasses, mm-hmm. Indeed.
I hope so.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, surely next year. Surely. That is going to show up. But SciTech Global, although that's not really what they're going to focus on, I guess they'll be focusing on the technology and the benefits, and that's very interesting as well. how artificial intelligence out there already can help us, and what new emerging tech is being built for blind and partially sighted people. So yeah, Sight Tech Global coming up, virtual in December. We'll, of course, be covering it here. So, you know, always, you know, keep listening to us, and we'll do our best to bring you up to date with all these conferences that happen throughout the year. Also, a story which I've got to say, for anyone who's diabetic, this is a story that I think will be very welcome. Non-invasive blood sugar measuring has been confirmed as coming in some form, possibly in a wristband form, to Apple Watch. This is coming from an Apple supplier called Rockley. And I'm not too surprised by this. I don't think any of us are, really. Unless you follow, if you don't follow the tech world the way we do, then this may be news to you. And that's why we do this, right? I know a lot of people come here to get the news. So the news is that this company that provide hardware to Apple in this form, this health style technology, they're working on this, and they appear to have confirmed its existence and the fact that it will come in the first instance in wristband form, and then secondly, perhaps down the line, maybe not this year then, but certainly at some point into the Apple Watch, which, you know, I think, Robin, this is something we've been hearing about a long time. We kind of knew it was coming, but it's nice to hear it actually being confirmed, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can never be 100% sure with Apple rumors. Some of the really trusted leakers or predictors have actually got things horribly wrong recently. So yeah, this pinch of salt, but it looks like the technology is there, because it's always been an invasive process before. So yeah, fingers crossed on that one for all of the people for whom you know, diabetes is on the horizon or is already there.
Tim, this one I think is going to interest you. Well, interest all of us, in fairness, but I think this will definitely interest you. Microsoft investing huge amounts of money in new voice technology and bringing new voice features to Outlook, not just on the apps on desktop, but on iOS and also on Android soon as well. I know you're a big fan of Outlook on iOS. In fact, you turned my head towards Outlook on iOS. So, you know, I guess more features, more voice features, like, for example, searching for documents with your voice, scheduling meetings with only your voice in Outlook on mobile, using dictation in Outlook mobile. Although I think we could all argue that we've got a bit of that in the blind world anyway, because we have, if you use VoiceOver, for example, you can dictate messages anyway. In fact, I don't think you need VoiceOver for that, do you? You would just use Siri to dictate, I guess.
Correct.
Just the dictate button to the left of the spacebar.
Yeah, well, I don't know, what's the difference then with this? Is this just going to be more accurate, more...
This is... From what I can understand, this is built in from Microsoft, so it may circumvent Siri, but that's just an assumption based on what I've read. But yeah, anything to enhance Outlook on the desktop, of course, but especially on the phone, because that is where I do probably 85 or 90% of everything I do. And I have been using Outlook quite a bit, as well as Microsoft Edge on my phone. I still pop in the Safari once in a while, but... Boy, they really have upped the level of their game for Microsoft when it comes to Outlook and implementing, you know, voice features, voice control, you know, this embedded dictation, if you will. You can already have a built-in voice play your emails if you'd like from Microsoft. So yeah, any upgrade to Outlook is welcome. See, I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, it's twofold, isn't it? This is the thing I love about what they're doing here. It is about entering text, and it's also about reading text. You know,
exactly.
this Microsoft Edge reader mode is just fantastic. I love
it's so nice. Absolutely,
I want that
nice.
Voice.
Well,
yes,
the thing is, exactly. I mean, so there's a lot of question marks around the voices, the cloud voices that they use, specifically cloud voices. Wouldn't it be great if they were built in to Narrator? And you kind of wonder why they're not. Maybe the clue is they're cloud voices. Maybe they aren't built yet to be... It doesn't make sense,
that's
does it?
Coming.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's on the way very, very soon.
Yep. It took a while for the vocalizer voices to be responsive enough. Do you remember when they first came to Jaws?
That's true.
Yeah, so maybe they're not kind of optimized enough for being really responsive, really punchy.
Well, look, I've been asking some people on the inside about this, not getting much, you know, information I can really share, nothing that would be newsworthy anyway, but there is a bit of confusion, I think, in some camps in the accessibility teams at Microsoft, a bit of confusion around why these voices aren't available. So that's interesting to me, that that's not part of their what can I say, a purview, I guess, maybe, you know, their mm-hmm. area at the moment. But that hopefully will change. That certainly we hope will change.
The last time I brought this up to somebody on the inside, as you say, the straight answer I got, maybe not so straight, was we understand and we hear you. That was literally what I got was, yes, we understand what you want. We definitely hear you. And kind of a wink and a smile, and that was it.
Switch to media mode. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Also, I want to ask people if anyone's using Scheduler. I'm just about to start getting into this. This is an add-on for Teams to make scheduling by voice easier. So scheduling appointments in Teams is even scheduling, you know, and Teams meetings in particular. That's what this is for. That's pretty cool. I mean, Andy, is this something you think you would use? Because I think about this from a sighted person's perspective. You know, all this. Yeah. I mean, these aren't accessibility features. These are general features.
Yeah. Well, anything that makes Teams better, because right now I think Teams is pretty disappointing as a whole. I mean, I know they're going to be adding in. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it at all.
I hear that a lot from people. I'm always wondering, what is it you don't like about it?
It's just, it feels like it's sort of cobbled together with this, this, and this. It's not been designed for any particular purpose. It's kind of been rushed out because so many people have started using it now that we're all in lockdown and more people are working from home. It feels like something that in 6 to 12 months, they're going to turn around and say, hey, we've done something that's even better. Here's Teams 2. It's just, everything seems really patchy. Sometimes it doesn't work. This is obviously an issue, you know, this is a very me issue. It's not going to be happening with everyone, but sometimes it doesn't load. Sometimes you need to restart. And it's just, it feels like it's been held together by sellotape and blue tech sometimes. I would try scheduling. I would try it if it makes it easier.
Teams is an Electron app, which is basically the Chromium engine. It's a web interface, and it's very clunky. Apparently, though, in Windows 11, the Meet Now button at the bottom, which at the moment opens Skype, will change to Teams Chat. And there is a JavaScript version of cut-down functionality, but still it's going to be able to do a lot of what we needed to do for, you know, basic meetings and calls and things that will be coming out to insiders of the Windows 11 ring soon. So that's going to be shipping when Windows 11 comes out. So I'm going to be very interested to know, is that accessible? Is it much, much faster? Has it got the functionality that we need without the massive bloat?
Well, I've been tweeting about this and I've made it very clear that I am going to be testing this over the next week. So I will let you know. Cool. I haven't had much time to do that this week, but I do want to test that functionality, because I will say, I think Microsoft Chat is actually extremely accessible. That's one thing. Teams chat, I should say, on Teams. I find it very accessible. I find it the only platform that I can actually really enjoy using a chat system. It's one of those things, though, I think a lot of it is to do with just learning how JAWS works, or JAWS, Teams works. It's so warm in here. I'm actually melting. But no, it's. I think there are so many aspects to it that are really quite good. I mean, from an accessibility point of view, I think Teams is actually not too bad. I think they've made huge improvements. But again, it's about knowing those keystrokes. It's about knowing how that all works. I should say at this point... No, you go, Andy, sorry.
Wasn't there an issue in Teams a while back that every time someone raised their hand, it was spamming the notification? Was that Teams? Am I getting
that? So if you're a JAWS user and someone raised their hand, it would just say, Andy has his hand raised. Andy has his hand raised. Andy still has his hand raised. Andy's hand raised. And it gets
just
a bit irritating.
Just to make sure you know.
Can I just say, though, insert space S is the answer to all your problems on JAWS. The amount of people I've been on chats with who say to me, I hate when people use the chat function while I'm on a Teams call. And I'm like, yeah, insert space, clunk, S, silences JAWS. Doesn't turn it off, just silences it. Same command to bring JAWS back. You'll still get the beeps and the bops.
Any keystroke will bring it back, won't it? Like escape, I think, brings it back as well.
Does it? No, I've never used that. I've always had to use insert space S.
Carry on talking.
But it just, to me, is so good a function. And, you know, I think it's sometimes we need to, as blind people, I think sometimes own up to the fact that we don't know everything there is to know about JAWS. I'm one of them. I don't know half the keystrokes. I mean, here's Robin about to tell me.
I don't know anything about JAWS, obviously, because no, that was all wrong. Forget that.
Well, but the point is, that could have been the case.
Yeah, because you want to get out. You want to get your speech back straight away. What about if you forget the keystroke off?
Well, the thing is, it says speech on demand, which I don't even understand, because there's no way to get speech out of it once you turn it off. So I don't know what speech on demand means. It doesn't make sense. So you would think that would be a sensible thing, just hit escape and it would come back. But yeah, insert space S, to turn on speech mute, essentially, and turn it back off is the answer. Speaking of screen readers, I've been playing with NVDA. I've been having a lot of fun. I have been having a lot of fun. I actually really like it. I'll tell you why. Because I've put Windows 11 onto my Samsung laptop that I have been mucking around with. So I've been putting Windows 11 on there. JAWS, it works. It does work, but it's still a bit icky at the moment. There's still a few challenges with it, and sometimes it just goes silent on me. Now, I don't know if it's something to do with JAWS. I don't know if it's something to do with the hardware or it's Windows. I don't know. I'm not hearing many complaints from people who I would expect to be jumping up and down and saying this isn't working. So I imagine it's maybe just me. I don't know. You can let me know if you've got Windows 11, if you've been signed up to the Insiders preview of it. But I was having so many issues with it, I decided to use Narrator. But I thought, well, Narrator's great. I mean, Narrator works perfectly. But I thought, well, hang on, maybe this is a chance to try NVDA. I've never used it. Not really. Sean Priest is on the show with us on the odd occasion. He uses it every day and he loves it. So I gave it a try. I'll say first off, I think it's a bit verbose at times. It says a lot when it doesn't need to. I find I'm hitting the control key quite a lot to shut it up and then just kind of almost refresh it. Like going into Outlook, for example, it'll tell you all the information about the inbox and everything you want to know about the inbox. I'm just like, read me the email. Just read me the email. That's all I'm interested in. So, you have to kind of play around a bit to get it to do it. And it gets there, but very responsive. I even spent some cash on the Eloquence upgrade for it so I could get Eloquence Voice, which was about 60 quid or something like that. I actually really like it. I think it's a nice screen reader, and I will put it on probably now, and that's it. I don't know if I'll even go back to JAWS, to be honest, at this stage. I don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. But at the moment, I'm quite happy with NVDA. So there. But I am, as most people know, I am a bit flighty, so I'll probably be next week saying, JAWS, back to JAWS.
This sounds like your Android experiments all over again. Well, you'll be back to JAWS in 2 or 3 weeks.
I think the key is, in all seriousness, to have them all. If you can, have them all.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, JAWS, if you've got it, great. If you've got NVDA, I think that's a great tool to have. Because it feels to me like, and I know the emails I'm going to get when I say this, but it feels to me like Narrator's the beginner, NVDA is the intermediary, and JAWS is the pro. That's how I would see it. Now, I know I'm going to get people saying, no, you're totally wrong. But I think we have to be honest. JAWS is a professional program for the workplace. If I wasn't in the workplace, would I need it? I don't think so. I might use it because I'm used to it, which is kind of where I'm at the moment. That's the truth. I go back there because I'm comfortable with it.
Yep, me too.
But I don't feel uncomfortable with NVDA. I thought I would, but I got to grips with it very quickly, particularly because I started using the caps lock as my modifier key on JAWS. And I think that's changed my mindset a little bit, because before, the idea of using the caps lock felt foreign, whereas now it doesn't. So I think I've kind of got around to that habit. I mean, you can use insert on NVDA as well, but I must admit, I've not found that as perfect an experience as you might think. But anyway, very interesting nonetheless. I will be talking about it, I'm sure, in the weeks to come, so you can continue to share your thoughts on everything we've talked about here. We're going to move on, though, because Joe Fullerton's here from the Technology for Life team. And Joe has an app for the green-fingered among you. It's called Picture This.
Picture This is an accessible plant identifier app for iOS and Android. So you can use it on iPhone, iPad, an Android phone or tablet. There's an annual subscription of $24.99, but it only charged me $2.49 for the first year. You can turn off auto-renewal. This applies to any subscription app. Go to Settings, look for Apple or Google ID, go to Subscriptions, and then scroll or swipe down to cancel subscription. If you've paid for a year, the app will still continue till the expiry date. Picture This claims an astonishing 98% accuracy for identifying plants from its database of over 50,000 entries. Some of the reviews on the app's homepage appear to back this up, and I have found it very accurate so far, going by the photos that it uses to match with your plant. It can tell you which plants in your garden are poisonous to people or dogs. It even has the ability to diagnose the health of plants using artificial intelligence. It told me my hydrangea had a bacterial infection, and that explained why the leaves were covered in dark marks. Picture This was suggested to me by the Glasgow-based sight loss charity Triple Tap Tech. They're currently running an online gardening group for people with sight loss, and the group leader and some members have been using it to identify plants in their own gardens. I'm sighted and I've been using it with great enjoyment to name the many wildflowers on the hills near my home, as well as the plants in my garden, which I inherited when I moved here in March. I admit I particularly enjoy the images of the plants alongside their names, which helps me to remember them. It works with zoom magnifier, just as you'd expect, but not with larger fonts. You can invert the text colours, but Smart Invert on an iPhone didn't work as it altered the colour of the images instead of leaving them unchanged. If you're a screen reader user, it would be great if the app could give you even more information about the shape and overall look of the plant in a more detailed text description. However, it does describe the usual colours, and once you've got the plant's name, you could try using a colour identifier such as the one in Seeing AI or via Opta Daily or Envision AI to check the colour. I wanted to persevere with Picture This, using only VoiceOver to navigate, because I've found it more accurate and informative than Google Lens. I find Google Lens usually makes multiple suggestions and does not then tell me the name of the one plant it's most likely to be. In general use, you can use Picture This to take pictures of plants yourself, or you can select an existing photo from your photo gallery and it will identify the plant almost instantly. To take a good picture of a plant, you need to be in touching distance, about 6 inches or 20 centimetres away. You don't want to be too close if the plant is fairly large and only has leaves. However, if it is a flowering plant, you should move closer to one of the flowers and point the phone or the tablet camera at the flower. In my experience so far, it is not so good at identifying trees, especially if you're a distance away, and it probably needs a leaf or a flower to go on. I was very happy though when it told me that the plant my daughter gave me was called elephant ears, and now that I know that, it's absolutely obvious because it has big leaves shaped just like the ears of an elephant. To go to the camera option, go to the identify icon on the homepage or go to the channel at the bottom of the screen, VoiceOver calls this the tap bar, and find the camera icon. VoiceOver announces Navba camera. If using a screen reader, you can flick right to the identify button in the home screen, ignoring all the unlabeled buttons as most of these are duplicates. Flick to the camera button, that's the most important bit, or the shutter won't click when you double tap. Hold the phone or tablet about 6 inches from a flower and double tap anywhere on the screen as you would when using the iPhone camera. Use the top of the screen gesture, 4 fingers near the top, to go straight to the result and it will read the name of the plant. You can then read the next few items, usually a list of alternative names, by flicking right, and you can flick to the Add My Garden button to keep the photo. If you don't add it, the photos are stored anyway. My garden is easy to navigate with VoiceOver as it places the plants you've identified in a simple list. The date buttons are unlabeled, but a second flick reads the date. And if you flick to the More button, you can name the plant or add notes or delete it from the list. The notes field was difficult to reach with VoiceOver screen reader, but the care instructions were accessible by flicking to the right. Another key feature is the plant database, where you can find out about 50,000 plants. When you open the app or go back to the home screen, there is a search field at the top. Navigating to this proved a little tricky with a screen reader running. I had to know it was there and then tap the top area of the screen once to hear search plants, then double tap as usual to get to the text cursor and the keyboard. Multiple buttons now appear with plant categories such as vegetables, leaf plants, flowers and fruits, succulents and weeds. The last category in the list is toxic plants. You can easily flick to the first 6 categories, but I found I couldn't always get to the others, as VoiceOver tends to go to the keyboard after that. You can, of course, type a plant name or a category straight into the search field. You can then go to the search button, which is in the standard place, bottom right, and having double-tapped that, flick through the results. Explore by touch is the easiest way to find the results. Just tap the middle of the screen. And then flick right or left to go through them in turn and double tap to get more information. So far, I've found Picture This to be well worth the subscription and fairly accessible with VoiceOver in terms of its key features. Accessibility could be improved with better labelling and simpler navigation. At the Technology for Life team, we'd be very interested to hear from people who are using it.
And don't forget, you can contact the Technology for Life team on 0303 123 9999. You can email the helpline TFL, short for Technology for Life, at rnib.org.uk. Jo helped you out the other day, didn't she, Robin?
Yes, she did. I called that number. I had a question, a very specific one, which I couldn't find out the answer to on the internet because I wanted to know if you've got a number of books in audio and you want to put them on a USB stick and plug them into any audiobook player, any talking book machine that would support those, or an SD card, how you would format them. And basically you put them all in separate folders and you call the folder name the book title that you want to show up in your library on that device. And she was able to tell me that yes, that's how it would work, and that that is respected on all the different popular book players. So yeah, really, really useful. Thanks, Joe. Brilliant conversation as well.
There you go. Well, that's the number, 0303 123 9999. The team are on hand, and the people you hear on Tech Talk are the people who will be answering the phones. So that's how it works. You'll get to speak to them. They are the real stars of this show, let me tell you. Okay, let's move on because it's time for this.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day.
Well, I wasn't going to play there.
Here's your mail today.
That was going to be one of those, time for this. At some point, you'll play. Okay, let's get into the emails then. As usual, a ton of emails. Emails Andy has the inbox.
Yes, we're going to start off with televisions. This is an email from Carl. Good afternoon, Stephen, Robin, Andy, and of course, not to forget the amazing Tim.
Aww. That's thanks. Nice.
It is.
You say that, but then the next line is, this one is mainly for Stephen. Really?
Well, fine.
But you never know. We might also throw in our tuppence worths. This one's mainly for Stephen, really, as I know he has reviewed a Sony in the past. And, of course, we all know Robin has absolutely no interest in the good old cathode ray. Oops. Sorry, showing my age there. What is probably now an LED or something like that. I currently have a faithful old Sony KDL-55X from about 10 years ago. And at the time, it was one of the early so-called smart TVs. Sadly, over time, it's not so smart these days. Now with my retinitis pigmentosa taking any useful vision I had away, I am more of a modern semi-smart upgrade, or is after a semi-smart upgrade. I would love something which could be fully interfaced with via voice, and or a really good app to run on, you know, via iOS. I'm sure I recall Stephen having or reviewing a Sony. Now, was it a H95 maybe on this show or one of his other ones that he moonlights on? I would be most grateful for a full in-depth review of the latest and greatest offering, ideally from Sony. But if he thinks there would be a better option elsewhere, I, of course, would consider it. As ever, fantastic show you guys are all doing. Still really enjoy listening to all the utter nonsense you get up to. Nonsense? What's this nonsense?
Nonsense.
And I'm sure at heart it is still a Tech Show Honest. That is, nothing could be further from the truth. And of course, I wish Stephen well and I hope he's mended now. This Scottish mirth was sorely missed by at least one old-time listener anyhow. Thanks, lads. Carl, who, like Chesney Hawks, has described himself as the one and only.
Ah, thank you, Carl. And apologies for getting to your emails so late. We, you know what we're like on this program. You know what we're like generally. We get there in the end. That's generally how we see it. Okay, so on the TV front, I have actually got a Sony TV here, which is a fully accessible TV. Very good television, brilliant sound, great picture, I think, all that stuff. But
yeah, if I know what's coming.
Well, if I were suggesting a TV to someone today, in all honesty, I would say look at Samsung, because I love Sony. I had Sony TVs all the way through my childhood. That's all we ever had. I think Sony make the best, you know, looking, best sounding TVs, and you know, that's because that's what I've grown up with. That's what I've always used. But when I switched to Samsung, and it was only because of a chance encounter with someone at Site Village one year. And I was having a look at this Samsung TV that was on show. And, you know, I kind of did that classic thing that you do. You go, right, okay, then, right, let's see how good it is. Come on, show me. And then they turned on the voice guidance. And it was reading every menu. It was reading all the channel information. It was reading out what was on next. It was reading out the TV guide if I wanted to record stuff. And I was blown away. And I thought, this really works. Now, that was several years ago. Now, last year, during the pandemic, I decided to treat myself to a bigger TV. I don't know why, but I did. I don't know what it is about partially sighted people buying big tellies. You know, I think if we just keep buying bigger and bigger a television, it'll make everything better. And to be honest, I love my 75-inch Samsung telly that's hanging on the wall, but it's just a big blur. And it's a nice blur, don't get me wrong. It's colourful, but it's still a blur. So anyway, I don't know if that's not necessary for you, I imagine, Carl. But what I will say is that Samsung have got in there a fantastic suite of accessibility tools, tons of things. If you use Freeview, if you don't have Sky or you don't have any other service, and you only use Freeview, you might actually benefit more from a Samsung TV because there are some lovely features in there, like, for example, the ability you can turn the picture off on the TV while it's on, so you can have the sound only. If you don't need the picture, you can just turn it off. It's like a screen curtain on the TV. There's some neat features around audio description as well. You can adjust the volume level of the audio description independently of the TV show. So if you find the AD is too quiet, you can turn it up and vice versa, turn it down. You can actually control the two. The one thing you can't do, and I was hoping for this, was to be able to detach the audio description, maybe to a separate Bluetooth earpiece, but that's not possible. But I have fed that back as a suggestion because I think that would be a great feature. In terms of third-party apps, which is the one thing I tend to complain about most, most of the apps are now accessible. I'm talking Netflix, Prime Video, BBC iPlayer, I think, to some degree, if I remember rightly. I will admit, I have an Apple TV that I tend to just go to for those apps because I find it easier. My setup is Sky TV plugged into the television, the Samsung TV. The Sky TV box, of course, now has its own accessibility built in with voice guidance, so that's controlled. But the TV, all the menus, they speak via voice guidance on the Samsung, and of course the Apple TV with VoiceOver does the rest. That's my TV setup, and to me that's almost perfect, because the great thing is most, if not all, the apps on the Apple TV are fully accessible, so I don't have to worry about that third-party app problem. So I don't venture into these TVs much. Now, I did see an email, and Andy will confirm this, I did see an email come in regarding LG TVs.
Oh,
I think
you?
It was last week.
You've been peering in my inbox.
I've been peering in that inbox, yeah. I like to go in for a read, you know. And I was reading and I can't remember who the email was from, but it was about an LG TV, and someone was wanting to clarify that most of the apps were now working for that person on their web TV from LG. Never tried an LG TV, so I can't comment on it personally, but you know, if someone wants to send in a review of how it sounds, I'd love to hear it, because I've never heard an LG TV, and I'm at the moment not going to stores to play with them to find out. So I can only go on my own experience. Sony's good, don't get me wrong. The accessibility is good. It's based on Android. So it's Android TalkBack, which is built into the television on Sony. It's actually all right. It's actually pretty decent. I have no issues with it. The issue I had was with setup. Samsung TVs, the setup process from start to finish is fully accessible. And I'm really impressed by that. Sony, it does involve a sighted person being with you. There is a point at which, once you've signed into your Google account, there's a point where the TalkBack can be turned on. And in most of these TVs, on Sony especially, it's holding the mute button, and that turns on TalkBack. But if you have one of these TVs and you need to set it up yourself, then independently it would be Samsung. I also need to shout out, I said it before, but I'll say it one more time, the Samsung M7 monitor, M for mother, 7 monitor. There's an M5 version as well, I think it's M5, which is a 27-inch version. The one I got was a 32-inch version. It's a TV, but it's also a monitor, and it's actually a monitor first. So if you wanted to combine the two and have a 32-inch TV that sounds okay, although you could hook up to a soundbar, you could have that with the ability to plug in a computer via USB-C. There's AirPlay built in for casting your screen to it from your phone or from your MacBook. There's even wireless connect to go straight from your PC. It's built to be a monitor as well. So if you did need that ability to, you know, have both, and you maybe don't want a big TV if you're totally blind, Carl, I don't know if you are or not, but if you wanted, you know, it's a bit of image or picture to see, then maybe you might find a bigger TV is better. But the fact is there are other options out there. And a lot of people don't know about these monitors yet. I bought one because I was really intrigued by it. And I love it. The setup process is incredibly accessible. Every part of it has been accessible. From even signing into the apps, there's a QR code that comes up on the screen. I just, you know, wave my phone in front of it. It grabs it. It signs me right into the app. Nothing involved. It's so simple. So, yeah, that's my extremely long answer that you probably don't need to hear. But there you go. And everyone's gone
home. I agree.
Everyone's gone home. Right, okay. So
yeah, we're all asleep after all that. Jeez. No, I totally agree. You got me on, and our friend Sean Priest got me on to the Samsung TVs. I can't say I've heard that the LG televisions are also pretty accessible, but again, like you said, Stephen, I haven't personally tried one, but I do know that Sony is very accessible, just like you described, and I've heard LG is accessible, but like you, I went to the Samsungs after you guys gave me such glowing reviews, and yeah, everything you say is absolutely correct. It is so nice, so easy, and I can do everything independently, so yeah, I second that, definitely.
I wasn't the point even asking Robin, because he doesn't know what television is. So
I'm not sure what make ours is. I think it's Samsung.
That's off to a good start.
But it's titchy.
Does it talk?
Yeah. No.
Right.
How old is it?
It's not smart. Right. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, again, if you're buying a television, especially now with the accessibility features in them, the way it feels to me is if you're buying a 2019, 2020 model, that's okay. You really don't want to be going any earlier than that. 2019 is probably that certainly at the moment is where the most up-to-date software lands on Samsung TVs. So yep. If you want the most up-to-date, you have to go 2019 upwards. So if you're buying a new TV today and it says 2020 on it, which a lot of them do, then that's the key. I know there's lots of model numbers and that's the other thing that gets very confusing. Which model number is it? Which one is it? Which model? Which range? Try and find out the year. 2020 upwards, I would say, you're safe as houses with. And the thing as well is the newer ones have faster processors built into them, like computers do, which means you'll get better response from that screen reader. Some of the cheaper TVs, some from the same manufacturer, will have lesser processors, meaning the voice guidance will stutter and stammer a bit more. So that's something to be aware of. Anyway, it appears I've talked myself out of my own show. So, yeah, there you go.
Well done.
I was so good, I literally brought the curtain down. So, yeah, there you are. But listen, we'll be back again next week with lots more. As I say, keep in touch, keep emailing us if you would like to. The email is the place to get us. We're on Twitter as well, so find us all there. And just search for RNIB Radio on Twitter to keep up to date with what's happening on RNIB Connect Radio. Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Andy Mills Andy, thank you.
Thank you. Chat soon.
Bye.